Thank you for calling for a free item from the church.
Jesus Church, how can I help you?
Hi, I wanted to order one of those books that you have because my daughter is a lesbian and she's been arguing with me about Prop 8. I don't understand. I see those nice boys. They walk by here.
Yeah, I can understand you because Proposition 8, it was quite a big issue, especially in California, so...
Yeah, I'm not in California. I'm in New York, but I still think that those devils, I don't know why they want that.
Mm-hmm. I can understand you.
They're devils. Mm-hmm. And my daughter's a devil.
Maybe one thing that I can offer for you, we can send you, if you want, that book to read. It's really helped me in my life.
I would like that book because I'd like to smack it over her head.
Oh. One thing that also we can offer is a visit of missionaries.
Is this the church or is it, what is it?
It is actually, this is just one of our centers because we have church all over the world.
Wasn't it Utah that donated most of the money?
Actually, yeah, in Utah there are a lot of people who contributed to that. But actually all over the United States, church members.
I was going to have an abortion. I was going to have an abortion, and I didn't because it was against Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And look how she turned out. She has a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard. I can understand you. Because I'm sure that you are a good mother and you try to teach all these good values to her, but sometimes happens when children choose their own way.
Well, the Bible said not to hold the rod, and I don't think I hit her enough.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should have hit her more in the head.
No.
To shake
that. I don't know if it would help, but...
No?
I can understand your pain.
You don't have a lesbian for a daughter, do you?
No, but I can understand that you feel so bad about what things happen to these children.
How about those Baptists? They dance around and they sing and they talk in different languages. What's that about?
I'm not really sure because in our church we are not doing that. So
what makes them special? What makes them different?
Actually, what makes us really different, I think, in my opinion, there are a lot of things, but one thing, we have a living prophet, like Noah and Moses, and they had revelations for those people who lived at those times, but we faced a lot of difficult situations that they never faced, like, for example, drugs or homosexuality, different things that are... Like,
I would rather her shoot drugs into her veins. I would rather see her rolling around on the streets like a drug addict, and I would rather her be a prostitute than to have a healthy relationship with a woman. I'd rather her be a prostitute, and I would rather a pimp beat the living daylights out of her and knock all her teeth out.
Yeah.
I see those two boys, they walk up the block every day, and their shirts are ironed so nice and stiff. Do they use starch?
Actually, they also are missionaries, so this is one thing, but as we go on our missions, we really... learn how to become self-reliant, how to do things for ourselves. It's like not mother doing an ironing shirt.
Right. Do you know what my daughter had the nerve to tell me? She said that those people, they have 10 or 12 wives. I said, you demon. Men should be allowed to have as many wives as they want. They should have one woman washing their hair, one woman washing their shirts, another woman washing their pants, one for their underwears, one for their shoes. You don't talk about men like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't have a plural marriage in our church. It was revelation given for a period of time in the 19th century. But in our church, marriage is really strong. Would you be interested to receive a visit from them?
She won't sit down with them. She said that they're sick in the head. She said that they're sick. I said, no, you are a demon. They should make a horror movie out of your life. Something to scare people. That's what your life is, young lady. Young lady!
Yeah.
She said, all heterosexual men do is run and pillage the streets and rape women and steal from people. What do you think about that?
I think there are some bad people, of course, all around, but it's not like majority, you know.
Where I feel like Jesus Christ has abandoned me. I have a daughter that wants an education.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about women's rights. She said women should be paid the same thing as men when they work. What a fool I raised!
Mm.
What do you think of that?
I think that we are equal, but we are different as women and men, and sometimes some works are too difficult for us, like physically or something, so...
Well, I think that men should have all of the jobs that make the most money. She wants to be a doctor. She wants to be a doctor. I said, what kind of woman is a doctor? Only a harlot. Only a harlot would want to be a doctor as a female. I told her she was a harlot. She didn't come from me. I don't know where she came from. Maybe it was an incubus.
Yeah. It is really hard in this situation.
Well, I would like that book still.
Yeah. What is your first name, please?
It's you can actually send it to T like Tommy, L like Larry, M like Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Care of Sandra. P.O. Box 243, Bronx, New York. 10469.
Mm-hmm. But one thing what I would invite you to do is, don't I know, but it helped me a lot of times in my life, is to just really pray and pour out your soul to God, because He understands you and He would give you that guidance what to do.
Thank
but
you
I
very
hope
much.
This book as well will help you, because it helped me a lot of times in my life as to just to feel closer to my Savior Jesus Christ and to have that peace in my soul. I can actually promise as you read it, it will happen.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope a thunderstorm comes and a tree falls on top of her.
Yeah.
Appreciate your time. You're very kind and very loving, and you spread love all over the world. And I'm sure that, you know, the gay people will one day realize that they are less than human.
Mm-hmm.
They're less than a cockroach. Let them all burn for 1,000 eternities. And the Pope wears Prada shoes. Do you know that the Pope wears red Prada shoes? Who do you think made those shoes? Do you have any idea who made red Prada shoes? Don't you think a homosexual made those shoes? I think so.
No, really.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Sandra.
Okay.
And have a nice day. And
thank you.
I hope you will be comforted. So thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm a lesbian. I don't like nothing swing and twing.
Hello, you are listening to show number 45 of The Lesbian Mafia, and I am your host, Gumby Dammit. I am your host, Sandy. Hi. Hello, how are you? Hi, hello, hello, hi. It has been a few weeks there, hasn't it? So I did call that particular church because I think that churches are really kind of an easy target in a situation like this. I mean, religion is always a really easy target because it's kind of like this blob. It's not like one person. So it's really easy to pick at like a blob. But, you know, the reality of the situation is that Christians in general were only 2/3 of those that voted yes on 8. But so, and there's this like strange undertone going on. There's like this weird undertone within the gay community of people kind of like singling out like smaller groups within the larger groups, like smaller little kind of groups within the whole macro. It's really odd to witness that. We'll talk about that more as the show goes on, but very strange, confusing time for the community, I think. And I laugh because what are you going to do? What are you going to do if you don't laugh? What are you going to do, cry all the time? So, yeah. But it is very interesting to watch people react because it's like, because we've been so blatantly pitted against one another just to keep infighting within communities so that, you know, people in positions of power can always be the ones to look in and look on, and we need them to come and save us, you know. So you create these kind of situations where, like, you make something like gay civil rights something to vote on so that something like that can obviously blow up in our faces. And then it's the people that start to hate each other. Little sections of people hate the other groups of people. And this one hates that group because you let them all fight against one another when it is the most obvious thing to witness. I mean, if you were a teacher, would this work on a college campus? Letting one group of students vote on another group of students' civil rights. Would that work on a college campus? No, that would not work on a college campus. So It's not supposed to work. They know it's not supposed to work. It's not supposed to. It's supposed to keep us in conflict. So then we have to go reaching for Dada. We have to reach for other people to come and save our problems. The same way we go into other countries and we create conflict in other countries. So that we can be the ones to be the onlookers. We're the good people. We're the ones that fund. We're the ones that fund it. We'll sell you nuclear weapons, and then we'll sell you nuclear weapons, and we'll create tensions between you, and sudden bombings will happen, like almost like they dropped out of the sky, almost like it was done with a timer. Anyway, so OJ, they nabbed OJ. 15 years too late, but now all they have to do is get Phil Spector and Beretta. I couldn't fucking be happier. But I would be just as happy if they got Phil Spector and Beretta. If you can't do the time, then don't do the crime, Beretta. So funny this life is. This is just a hilarious planet. It really is the two masks. It really is comedy and tragedy. It's amazing. And if you can't see the comedy and stuff, then what do? You throw yourself off a bridge? I don't know. Venice is underwater. You know, it's a flood. All right. Yeah. I don't know. So I have an hour-long show, so I guess why don't we just get started on that?
I see you shiver with anticipation.
Hold the line, because I have to get my own tea. Hold on.
Your microphone has no parents.
Right. The motherless bastard this microphone is.
Once upon a time, there was light in my life. Now there's only love in the dark.
There's nothing I can do.
Okay, so, what's the history behind that song? You were about to tell me the history.
Why I know that that was Bonnie Tyler.
Yes, how did you know that was Bonnie Tyler?
Well, I knew the song from back in the day.
Right.
And I remembered the song, but then when I went to rehab... when I went to rehab when I was about 20, we had to do a group exercise, and the group leader... She chose that song, and we were going to act out a drug addict, hung out on the streets. Like, we had, like, trash cans and trash and, like, wind, like, with a fan blowing, and we had that in the background, and it was just that song. And it was about, like, you know, turn around, you know, you could turn your life around. It was horrible, yeah, but that's how I remember that song.
No wonder everybody runs away from rehab.
Shit, I don't know, but I mean, but I went to a really nice place. My parents, they spent a lot of money to fix my ass.
So you had, like, art and shit in there.
Yeah, I had my own little cabana.
I wonder if they, like, have art like that in, like, Daytop.
I don't know.
Have you ever heard of
really
Daytop?
Cool. I had my own cabana, like, my own little cottage.
Have you ever heard of Daytop?
What's Daytop?
It's like, a rehab place, and I know that my uncle went there.
Oh, is it? Where is it?
I think there's a few scattered around the East Coast. I don't know, but there's some here in the Bronx. Yeah. And then, like, when you go into that neighborhood where the Daytop is, you'll see, like, random addicts roaming the streets. So, you know, you don't want to go around there. I don't think that they had, like, art profusion the way you did.
My parents spent good money on that. I went to the same place that Dr. Drew Pinsky did the celebrity rehab.
Oh, really?
It's Las Encinas.
What is it?
Las, L-A-S.
Uh-huh.
Encinas.
Oh, so it's Latin.
Yes.
Did it have, like, a Latin feel?
No, it was very not Latin feel at all. I mean, there was, like, the really lockdown rehab, which looked like a hospital, and then there was, like, you know, once you got past lockdown rehab and your parents decided on keeping you in, they would put you in these cottages, which were, like, these little homes. Like, you know, one bedroom, one bathroom, little kitchen, little living room. Situation. Mm-hmm.
So you had it good.
Yeah.
I think my uncle ended up living in some kind of housing projects.
Right? Thank God. Oh my God.
Yeah, you wouldn't survive in that, I don't think.
I wouldn't have, no.
Did you have sex with anybody in rehab, Lindsay?
Yes, I did.
You did, Lindsay? Who did you have sex with?
What's your girlfriend's name, Michelle Bronson?
I don't know her girlfriend's name, to be honest with you. I really don't know.
Wait, how did they meet?
Ronson is the last name.
Ronson.
Yeah, I don't know the first name, though. I have no idea how they met. I just know that they can do a lot more coke together than they can apart.
Right?
Yeah, that's the only fact that I know about them as a couple.
But now she doesn't look as bad. I don't know if she's still on the booch. On the yayo. On the booch. We call it booch in Miami.
Oh,
Rush, get the yayo.
But you're not in Miami anymore. So what do they call it in L.A.?
One of my friends calls it Tony. It's Tony Montana. They call it Tony.
You know, yayo sounds like something that a child could do. You see how these names, how they are? I would be all about Lindsay and her girlfriend if they weren't, like, you know, like addicts. I can't get into that.
I don't know. You know what I did see on TV, though, the other day? This is really exhilarating about Lindsay and her her girlfriend.
Hold on. Are you driving a motorcycle?
No.
What is that noise?
It's my vibrator. No, there's a helicopter flying above. It could have been like a traffic helicopter or whatever.
They're finally coming for us, Ollie.
They're coming.
What if one day, like while we're in the middle of doing this show, like a helicopter comes and just airlifts us out of our houses?
And like puts us like somewhere in the world that we don't know that exists. Like a big old hole of all the bad people in like the deepest part of the ocean.
Yes. Do you know that I've decided when and if I seek a partner that she will have to be not affiliated with any political party?
I think that would be a very healthy thing for you because your views on politics are, you know, your views. And I doubt that you'd be able to be with a Republican.
I can't stand either party. She would have to be middle of the road. Or at least able to, you know, have some brain function left after not having it syrped out. I feel so censored right now.
I know.
I hate this.
Oh, you know what movie I saw? The Milk. Movie about Harvey Milk.
How did that go?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I really like Sean Penn.
Oh, God. And he played such a good gay character. Like, because, I'm sorry, but 99.9% of gay films suck.
And, yes, I agree.
Although this movie isn't, like, it's kind of like in the whole Brokeback type of thing because it's straight actors acting gay, you know?
Yeah, but that's acting. Do you know what I mean?
I love Sean Penn. I always have. But in this movie, Sandy, I really lost myself in the movie, you know? And it's hard for that to happen with me, especially about
You didn't get that awkward feeling, like, because I remember when I saw Brokeback and I saw Heath and that, what was the other guy? What's his name?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. When I saw them making out, I don't know, they just didn't look comfortable to me.
But they make out a lot in this movie. He looks comfortable.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were doing an interview on him and like Q&A type of thing. And he's like, there was only supposed to be one scene where they actually make out in the movie. But Sean Penn actually changed the script around and had it where there was more physical contact.
Interesting. If you were getting paid $1 million for your movies, you couldn't make out with a man?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on, it's acting, you know?
Oh, yeah, more than $1 million. The movie theater was packed. I went and saw it at the Grove in Hollywood. That's the only place it was playing the first week.
Okay.
Opened at the Arclight on Sunset and the Arclight in Westwood. When we got there, it was snowing, there was a snow machine, and I was walking in the snow, and I was so not used to walking with snow, like, flying in my face, that I was, like, I was a little buzzed, and I was trying to, like, swipe the snow out of my face, and, like, as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, wait, I should be enjoying this. It was really cute.
Why did they have a snow machine?
For the kids, you know, because it doesn't snow. You have to drive, like, 2 hours north into the mountains if it snowed.
Right, right.
So it doesn't snow here, you know? It's like 45 degrees right now. I don't know. I actually prefer the cold over, you know, hot, mm-hmm. wet, humid weather.
Are you talking dirty to me?
Oh, no, actually I wasn't. We can go there, you know, you and I can go down that route.
I think that you're trying to coerce me.
And I'm not going to deny it.
And the minute that I say yeah, then you'll chicken out. So all of the gays are angry at African Americans and Mormons.
Really? Is it because yes, on Prop 8 passed? Is that why?
Yes. And they're saying all kinds of things, like just openly kind of, I guess you could say, prejudiced things. So I can understand why they're angry. But I'm wondering, why are they ignoring the 50% of Caucasians that voted yes, the 50% of Pan-Asians and Asians that voted yes, the 50% of Hispanics, Latinos that voted yes? I mean, it wasn't just African-Americans and Mormons that voted yes. It was the Hope Change Unity Party.
Yeah, exactly. I think the reason why they have this thing against the black community is because of the whole civil rights thing. Like the black community owes us something, you know, and they don't. They don't. I mean, yeah, they have their civil rights, but they fought for their civil rights, and we're going to have to fight for our fucking civil rights just as long as it fucking takes.
That's true. I think we tried to piggyback on their movement, maybe.
Still,
yeah, it's still offensive. It's offensive to think that, you know, I can understand that. But Asians and Latino Hispanics, they're also part of an oppressed, quote unquote, minority of people. I think what gays are saying is that it's offensive to them that people who have experienced prejudice, how can they actively be prejudiced towards another minority? Now you want to close the doors on the fingers of those behind you. It's, you know, kind of like...
Right.
I think this was a wake-up call. But, like, I just feel like, how many times do gays need to be lied to before you just wake up? It's almost like, where was the confusion? I don't support gay marriage means I don't support gay marriage. I mean, there's no trick language there. So now Keith Olbermann comes out with this, you know, this dramatic video. Do you mean to tell me that Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann, they had no idea that half of Barack's followers were conservative bigots that were going to vote yes on 8?
Oh, please. Rachel Maddow and Keith Olbermann are just puppets. I'm sorry, but just because you're on TV, just or whatever the fuck news channel you're on, it doesn't mean anything, because essentially the media is controlled by the government. So if they're going to have an openly lesbian newscaster or, you know, Keith Olbermann, like, going on and on about the gays, it's all part of a plan. It's okay, here, you guys, we'll feed you guys a little bit here, you know, just to keep your mouth shut for a little while. But eventually, the gay population needs to wake the fuck up.
And do your own research and look for your own media, not the simple media of that piece of shit that sits in the middle of your living room, the television, because the television lies to you. I don't know, maybe gays like to be lied to. I think gays love to be lied to. They love it. They can't get enough of being lied to, the gays. They love it. Lie to me, lie to me. Remember that Depeche Mode song? Lie to me, lie to tell me you love me. I don't understand it.
But wait. I wanted to touch back on what you were saying earlier about...
Yeah.
You're saying that since, you know, they came from, you know, no civil rights, and they know what it's like to be to have prejudice. They might understand prejudice, but they don't understand what it's like to be gay. They don't think that it's the same thing as being a minority. They think we're fucking aliens. We're still below them. We're
right, well,
not
because,
considered equal.
Right, well, because the religion tells them that we are not. Or they just use the religion to tell us that we're not. I don't know which one it is. I don't know if it's that they're following the religion or they're using the religion to discriminate. I don't know which one it is.
I have no idea either, but I do know one thing. Where I live, in an area that's densely populated by Caucasians, and then on the other side of town, it's all Hispanics. But then once you go over the hill, it's all Asians. And I remember the day of, I think it was November 4th. Well, that day, I remember, like, you know, and I never see the Asians ever out there with, like, any sort of, like, you know, rallies or, you know, trying to make a statement or anything like that. But on that day, there was hundreds and thousands all in front of their churches with these banners and these signs for yes on Prop 8, yes on Prop 8. And I was, like, dumbfounded. I was like, what the fuck is going on? I've never even seen these people before, and now they're coming out on just for the Prop 8?
Yeah, Democrats too, by the way.
Democrats, oh, God.
Mm-hmm. So the Democratic Party spit in LGBT. They spit in our faces.
We work, we spend money just the same way you do, if not more.
Right. That's right. Two women in one household. That's a lot of toilet paper.
Imagine two men, you know, all the clothes and the cologne and, you know, the drinking. And
right. That's a lot of vodka.
You know how it's like when we go drinking?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, we're all fucking millionaires. Or if we didn't get drunk in the parking lot before we went in.
That's right.
I don't see it anymore, and the fight hasn't continued. Like, what happened, you know? Oh, we're just going to have to wait again next year, 4 years?
Well, I think what's happening is GLBT or LGBT are trying to remain hopeful to see what will happen. So, you know.
Wait. For hopeful for when Obama actually gets sworn into presidency, that day there's going to be this miracle and you know, everything's just going to change for the LGBT community?
Yeah.
The new Secretary of State? Yeah.
Well, I think that, don't even get me started on that. Shoe-shining fucking... She's another one anyway, because she would have bailed out Wall Street the same way Barack is and the same way McCain wanted. You know what I mean? They're all friends with big corporation and big pharma. So they're all the same. Maybe if we would have had Hillary, the only maybe is that her constituency aren't as conservative and bigoted. So the only thing that might have happened is gays might have still kept they might have still had their rights to marry. Maybe. But she would have bailed out Wall Street, too. So...
Yes, she would have. I'm just going to remain hopeful. Nobody knows what the future holds. Hey, the world can come to an end in 2012. You know, nobody fucking knows.
Well, now you're starting to sound like the Christians.
Actually, well, no, you know, it's more conspiracy theory. It's not the Christians. Like, the Christians don't believe in the Mayan calendar. The Mayan calendar ends in 2012.
Right.
It's not that. It's don't even get me started on conspiracy theory, because that'll be like...
Well, if you don't follow one of the two-party system's thought frame, immediately you're labeled a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
Yeah. But I think they're remaining hopeful because Barack says that he won't pass an amendment to ban marriage. But let me tell you what that means. If you say, I won't pass an amendment to ban gay marriage, what that means is, if you were laying on the street, in the middle of the street, sick and dying, means that I'm not going to drive my Jeep over you. I'll just drive it around you and keep going and pretend I didn't even see you. Certainly not do anything to help you at all. So, I don't know. The only thing I can think of is maybe the gay response with the protests. If we continue it and keep it up and keep making noise, it may force him to do something to make it right. But clearly, LGBT got duped. Again.
Look, what they do is whenever the LGBT community gets too crazy or they're making too much media hype, what they'll do is they'll feed them a crumb, like I said earlier, and shut them up for a little while.
Oh, yeah. Like after all this happened, they put stuff on the website. Oh, we're going to do this for the gays. We're going to do that for the gay. Oh, because you say gay on your website? That means something?
Like, hello, people. This is really happening. You know, do they just stop living in this, like, denial?
I really do not have rights. I'm starting to be afraid that LGBT are going to start burning crosses in front of people's homes.
Fucking A, man. Shit. Oh, did you catch when the market fell 600 points? That morning, I happened to catch the news, and they announced that the country has been in a recession. Oh, really?
Surprise! We're in a recession!
And now gas is $1.79, $1.75.
A dollar? Where is that?
It's still here. I've found it for $1.75. Some places it's like $1.93, but then like some random ass like Arco will be $1.75. Yeah.
Bullshit. And you know what they say? There's no difference between gas stations. The gas is the same in all gas stations.
Oh yeah, no, the gas is the same, except for, you know, like Chevron, because they have Techron. But now all gas has 10% ethanol in it too. If I get a job, because I'm part of the whole recession unemployed, you know.
Right.
If I get a job, my whole goal is to get out to New York again this summer, or, you know, fall at least, when the weather isn't as horrible.
Well, I'm unavailable.
No, you're not. You're my first priority, and I'm your first priority, so shut the fuck up. I'm asking to marry you.
You're going to come here with a 4-carat ring.
Oh, you want a 4-carat ring? That's all?
Yeah, and I want that shape. What's that fancy shape that everybody gets?
Princess cut?
I want a princess cut ring.
You don't want the fucking, the teardrop? The teardrop shape?
I don't even think I've seen the... Who has the teardrop?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just talking out of my ass.
I don't even think I've seen it. I would like a canary yellow.
Oh, my God. With chocolate diamonds and... white diamonds on a platinum setting. What? I would never get a canary yellow diamond.
Why not?
To me, it can pass as a fucking topaz. if it's cut correctly and it's a light colored topaz, hey, there's your fucking canary yellow diamond fucking ring.
What about the pink diamond then?
No, the champagne pink ones? No, I'm sorry. I want a fucking white diamond.
Why not, J-Lo? What's wrong? Why can't you just let me be J-Lo?
Because a white diamond is just classier and timeless.
It is timeless. What's that jewelry company?
Which one?
That does K? The commercials?
Every kiss begins with K.
K, yeah, are we doing a commercial for K?
Fucking promoting K Jewelers. I don't know.
K Jewelers should send us a few bucks.
Yeah, how about a couple boxes of diamonds?
Keep shit going around here. And that's another ridiculous industry, the diamonds, where they create a shortage. Do you know that they throw diamonds into the fire? They throw away diamonds to create shortage. They burn them.
Are you serious?
Yes, that's how the whole diamond industry works, is, you know, they create this faux kind of shortage that, you know, what's the word? I can't find that one fucking word tonight.
You know what, though? Let me tell you something. I don't give a fuck what they do to diamonds. You walk your happy ass into Tiffany's and walk your happy ass to the diamond section. You will never see diamonds shining so motherfucking bright in your life.
I know.
No.
All of Tiffany's jewelry is beautiful, even if it's garbage.
Mm-hmm. So, what's wrong with these fucking lesbians? What's wrong with these girls? I've been single now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, the only fucking girls that are hitting on me have girlfriends. Like, I didn't come back to L.A. for drama, you know? And that's what L.A., I don't know, I don't fucking waste my time.
Yeah.
Like, find yourself a fucking, fall back in love with your girlfriend or break up with her. Not all of them do that. Like, when I was in a relationship, I never did that, you know, but...
It is the antithesis of sexy when you are in a relationship and coming on to a single person. And I don't know, well, I'm not going to say that because then you'll, I don't know what idiot would fall for it. Actually, I've fallen for it in the past too, so.
Of course, but you know what we suffer from is we feel that there's a shortage of lesbians, and like, especially when you're new meat, everybody wants the new meat. You know what I mean? And
right.
Even if that person is in a relationship, it's like, dude, give me a fucking break. Who the fuck do you think you are, you know? And, like, don't fucking waste your time or mine.
Well, I know that people that live in the middle of God's country, nowhere, they manage to find girlfriends. And there's a lot less people where they live and a lot less gay people. Like, if you do the statistics, you know, the amount of people that live in their town itself, and then you say, okay, well, so if there's 10% or 15% of that population is gay, the statistics are much lower. So if you have 5,000 people in your town, and 10 or 15% of those 5,000 are gay, that's a lot less than what we're dealing with, where we have, you know, I have millions of people in New York. So 10% of millions of people, the chances are much higher.
Sandy, it's a circus out here. It's a fucking circus. You know, I was raised out here, and then, like, I left for 3 years, and I came back. But it becomes, they're like scavengers. It's like they could smell you.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that women in general are like that, because they're like that even with men. They act like there's a shortage of men, and they're half of the population. you know, the way straight women talk about men. Oh, I can't find a husband. I can't find a husband. What are you talking about? Half of the human race are men that are eligible and available. And they act like there's a shortage of men. So imagine what it's like for us. I think that women are just conditioned to think that there's a shortage of anything when it comes to relationships. Because you're like trained to think that you need someone.
It's desperate. They're so desperate. Like, fuck.
Yeah, that desperation, right?
Straight people can have booty calls and it's cool. But, like, lesbians, booty call never really works. Maybe 10% of the time you can solely have a booty call and it's cool. But you can't do that because fucking people, like, get all emotional and their feelings get involved. And it's like, come on, man. Yeah. What's wrong with having a fucking booty call?
You know that your feelings would get involved, too. Don't even front.
No, I know. But the thing is my feelings will get involved if I'm picking up on somebody else's feelings, and then my feelings will get involved, you know? Like, I mean, yeah, I'm guilty of it, too, but shit. I mean, I know what I want now.
I know. I can't do that sex thing. I don't know. Like, at this stage of the game, I really don't want to just be hanging out like fucking teenagers and we don't know what the hell we're doing. Like, I just would like to at least be clear.
Well, you can't because feelings get involved, you know? But, like, I don't know. It's
yeah, I think a lot of women go into things not knowing what they want, and then they end up changing midstream. Like, the game changes.
There's also a lot of lesbians that have open relationships, and they actually work. Like, I personally, if I was in a serious relationship with somebody, would not be able to share that person.
Right.
But, like, shockingly, from the people that I do know, the girls that I do know that are in open relationships, their relationships are actually, they work.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're catching them during a good phase.
You never really know what really happens behind closed doors because they could possibly be hyping it up just because, but...
I don't know. Maybe it does work for people. I don't know. You know, whatever. All the more power to them. If you can make that work... I'm too afraid of STDs.
I know, so am I. But, like, what if you were in a relationship for 3 years
mm-hmm.
and the sex was just horrible and you really, really loved that person, but you just couldn't get past the fact that the sex was horrible and it was seeping into the relationship, and you know what I mean? Like, what do you do then?
I don't know if I would last that long, if I would last 3 years if the sex wasn't good.
What if at the beginning it was good and then...
went downhill. I think the sex would probably go downhill if there was something happening in the relationship. If the relationship itself...
Right. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, then you become repelled by your girlfriend. You don't want to touch her.
Yeah, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Lesbians are so quick to jump into a relationship, and it's like, why? What's the big rush? Why so impulsive? Why so quick to get into a relationship? Like, why?
Yeah.
Is it because we don't have the proper role models, or is it because we feel possessive over that person? Like, why?
I'm just speculating, right? But I think that when you're gay and you're single, it's kind of like you against the world.
Right.
In some ways. You know, you have your friends and stuff, but, you know, the rest of the world is not like you. So when you have a partner, it's kind of like you have somebody to lean on. And even straight people need that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They need somebody to lean on. You know, life is not easy. Life is difficult. But as a gay person, it's kind of like, wow, so I'm single. Wow, I'm really alone. If you can't be alone with yourself as a gay person, yeah, you're going to jump into, they feel like something is better than nothing.
So I guess it's to feel not so alone because, you know, unfortunately, being gay comes with, like, you could be in a room full of other gay people, and that's not what I mean by being alone, just in society.
Yeah, the world at large. You really are.
Large, yeah.
In some ways, you know, you're alone.
Yeah.
So if you have a partner, you know, I guess maybe it makes them feel less alone. I think maybe that's why lesbians might seem like they're more desperate to be paired up.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. But you know what? The older that I'm getting, it's like...
The less you want to be in a relationship?
Yeah, the less I want to be tied down in a relationship.
Oh, God. Listen, the next go around, it's going to be somebody who is very compatible and very understanding and all that rigid bullshit. You know, women can be very rigid and demanding.
Right.
They just have a hard time letting you be yourself.
And it's not that I'm jaded. That has nothing to do with
it. No, you don't sound jaded.
No, it's just I know now that, like, I don't want to jump into a relationship. It's not like I'm out there every weekend at the clubs trying to find pussy. I'm not.
Right.
I go out, yeah, I'm out there, but I'm not 100% putting myself out there like, oh, the single ladies, you know? No, it's not.
No, and you know what? The more insane people are at the beginning of their relationships, like the more drunk on lust and love that they are, like, you know how they get drunk at the beginning?
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
The more drunk they are at the beginning, the more I know that that relationship is headed for the headed for the pits.
And you know what?
It's impossible to sustain that. Nobody can sustain that. It's impossible.
There's a very few percentage of women out there, gay women, that really take it slow and thought out.
Yeah, yeah.
But once alcohol's in the picture, I mean, everything goes out the door.
Have you ever sobered up in the middle of sex and were like, oh my God, I'm going to vomit?
Oh, yeah.
You've done that? I thought I was the only one.
No. I've been like, what? Who, what?
Oh my God.
Oh my God, what am I doing? You know?
Oh,
yeah,
you have?
Of course. But that's only like if it was like a drunken stupor years ago type of thing.
Yeah,
but
right. Like, I haven't done
really
that in years.
Of if anybody that I'm going to sleep with, you know, like I really have to be sexually and mentally turned on by that person.
You know, years ago, how attracted to them I was physically was really important. And then I thought, well, let me see if I'm attracted to them in other ways. Now it's more like, if you can't do it for me in my head.
Oh, yeah, no. It has to come mentally. Like, I could see somebody and be sexually attracted to them and be like, wow, that's, you know. But, like, if you can mentally get me, then it's like, I'm, like, putty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And if you can mentally get me, I don't even, like, I have no type.
Right. If somebody can mentally just blow me away and, like, sweep me off my feet.
It can transcend type.
Yeah. It really can.
Yeah, I mean, I have a general type that, you know that I like.
Right.
Sexiness comes in so many forms.
Oh, yes.
Right? It's really not just a certain...
I think sexiness in the lesbian community comes in so many forms. But, like, if you're thinking, like, the heterosexuals, you know, to them, sexy is, like, it's cut and dry. But in our society, because there's so many different types of girls, you've got your femmes, you've got your butches, you've got your boys, you've got your softies, you've got your this, you've got your tomboys.
Androgynous, right.
I'm femme, but, like, if I have to dress up, like, it's, like, pulling teeth. I'm more just, like, chill, you know, thing. But,
It has nothing to do with the way you dress, really, because that's just the outer...
I think it's just the way you carry yourself.
Yeah.
You know what it is? In the bedroom, most femmes are considered bottoms, you know what I mean? And it's all always very vanilla-type sex, but, like...
Yeah.
Yeah,
make me come.
That's not working in my bedroom, honey. No.
Yeah, but a lot of feminine women are reciprocal now. Or should I say a lot of women who are reciprocal, they identify as femme now.
Yeah.
There's a lot more femmes that are reciprocal, and they don't come off like these delicate women that are going to pass out if, you know, they see your fucking pussy.
That's the thing about feminine girls that they don't realize is that people can actually read them pretty clearly. Like, most people can be like, oh, this girl cannot get down. Like, you just know. But then you can look at another femme and be like, okay, this girl's got some flavor. Right. A little more sassy. I think, you know, she could possibly get down.
Right. There's femmes that I can see and I'm like, all right, well, that's somebody that would definitely be on her back. You know, I'm a femme. I'm just like a little soft femmy girl. And like, you know, I mean, I could be attracted to a type like that, but I would probably in the long run be frustrated.
Yeah.
Because at some point I would expect her to fucking do something.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
Do something, motherfucker. Do something. And even, like, because I've dated femmes, like, on that level of femme, my experience, and I'm not trying to stereotype because, you know, when you don't have enough experiences with a certain type of person, then you start to base your stereotype on a few experiences.
Right, of your own, right.
Right, like you have one or two experiences with a certain type of person and you think everybody's like those one or two people because maybe you don't have enough experiences. That's what a stereotype is, right?
Right, right.
It's not that I have a lot of experience with femmes. And there's a certain type of femme that just doesn't want to move. Just doesn't want to move. Jesus, it's like, God damn!
Yeah, that's so not attractive.
You know what, though? I feel like, and I'm going to, I have to make a confession because I've been thinking about this all day, even though I slept. But I feel like I'm becoming asexual. I'm in a phase right now where I don't feel attracted to female genitals. What's wrong with me?
Are you attracted to male genitalia?
No, I'm not attracted to either.
I think you just need to get laid.
That's such a crazy psychology. That's like saying I'm a lesbian, all you need is a good man.
I just think that you need to get laid by a girl that can really fucking take over because you're very dominant.
Oh, so you think that I need somebody to just knock me all over the house?
Yep. Let's start a little fucking group here. My mind just like totally switched over to sexual chemistry. And You've been there when you meet a girl and you're talking, whatever, and the chemistry is so fucking strong.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Like, what do you do to just ignore that?
Why would you want to ignore that?
I'm just saying, if, like, the possibility wasn't there for a sexual encounter.
Oh, okay.
And you guys both are feeling it at the same time type of thing.
Well, you could let it take over you. Or you could make the decision to keep it under some kind of control that may never go away. But until you find someone else to put all of that sexual energy into, you try to avoid being around them. If there's a reason why you can't be with them, if it's not reciprocal or if they can't reciprocate.
How do you just not act on that?
You make the mental decision not to act on it until you can find somebody else to put all of that energy into. You may still be attracted to them, but it'll have a lot less control over your body. It's your body making demands. It's like when you're hungry.
Right.
So it becomes all consuming. It becomes your whole body needs it like a drug.
It becomes very addictive.
Right. But people kick addictions all the time. You can make the mental decision for whatever reasons. If it's not good for you, if it's not healthy for you, for whatever reason, if it's not a good situation to be in, you make the mental decision. I'm going to take control over my body. And you find other things to do to occupy your time, you know, until somebody else comes along that you can feel that way for again. Because sometimes when you're so attracted to somebody in that way, like, it feels like you're never going to be attracted to anybody else like that ever again.
Oh my God, you just took the words right out of my mouth.
Mm.
That's what it is. It's the fear of, oh my God, am I going to get this again with somebody else?
Mm. Oh no, yeah, you will. I mean, there's people that, like, I think of that I know I'll probably always be attracted to them no matter what, but it's not like I let that control me.
You're more in control of it.
Yeah, like I know that I can control my mind.
Right.
You can't control the way you feel. Like, maybe if I was around them, it would be a completely different story, right? But then you don't put yourself in situations like that.
Yep.
You know, it's like you're on a diet or, you know, you don't smoke. And are you going to buy a pack of cigarettes and leave them in the house if you don't smoke and you're trying to kick the habit?
Right.
Or if you're on a diet, are you going to buy...
Addiction. It's an addiction.
Yeah. Are you going to buy 5 boxes of donuts and keep them in the house if you're on a diet?
Hell no.
You know, it's like you don't put yourself in situations that are going to be really rough for you, you know? I think it depends on the time, too. Sometimes situations like that are transformative. There's a reason why they're there, those attractions that you know are ultimately going to go nowhere. There's a reason for them being there.
there's a lesson behind it, I guess.
There's a lesson, and sometimes it's just a distraction. And they say that even in rebounds, there's a lesson in the rebound. That rebounds are not completely useless mistakes. There's even a lesson in the rebound.
And you know, it's sad. There aren't really that many relationships like that last for more than like 10, 15 years. Like, I don't know of anybody personally that's been in a relationship longer than 10 years. Like, there's only one person that I know that's been in a relationship for 10 years, and everybody else has been like, the breaking point's been like 3 or 4 years.
Right, that's what they say. Like, if you're attracted to somebody and they're in a relationship, don't worry, because within 4 or 5 years, you'll have your chance at that.
Fuck that.
Well, you do what you got to do.
That's true.
But at some point, you know, within 3 or 4 years, they'll probably be available. Because that's the cycle.
Yeah, but in 3 to 4 years, you know, people change and progress and, you know.
Well, if you really have it bad for somebody and you're really holding a candle for somebody, you know, if you can just wait it out,
at
some point they'll be single again.
For somebody for 4 fucking years, it's ridiculous.
I know, I know. Well, I don't ever want to be in a relationship again because I'm asexual.
I don't know what you're going through. I just think you need to get laid. So do I, though. I need to get laid.
We sound really horny.
We are. Well, I am.
Right.
You know, I was looking at flights to New York the other day, and it was $220 round trip to LaGuardia.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at
That's
all.
That's really, really good right now.
Yep. So you're going to come pick me up from LaGuardia?
Of course.
Okay. Or JFK. Which one's closer?
They're both equally close. They're okay. Maybe about...
I'll be there tomorrow.
Maybe we can help each other out.
Right, hey, we need to.
That's okay, because then I'll be boiling bunnies in your house.
Oh my God, Fatal Attraction, no.
Somebody asked me, you know, she was like, why don't you guys talk about relationships, you know?
And then we started going on about relationships.
Let's see how that happens. We might be connected mentally to the community. We just
we are.
This is true. This is already true. So, yeah, how are we going to end this?
Just find yourself before you find somebody else to be in a relationship with.
I say find your keys before you drive the car. Let's end with all different types of philosophical ancient Chinese sayings.
Confucius say.
Always wash the sheets after you've had sex on them.
Well, it depends on who I fucked. If I fuck that person and I really like them and I want my sheets to smell like that person, then I'm not going to wash the sheets for a while. But I can still smell you. I can still smell your hair.
Do you huff it like a dog?
Yeah.
Let's end with some more ancient wisdom.
Okay. Love yourself before you love somebody else.
Always...
put on your drawers before you put on your jeans.
Or not.
Or just don't wear any drawers. That's fucking even better. Fuck the jeans. Just fucking come naked.
You're so disgusting tonight. I
can't. No, I'm actually really not. I'm actually being really good.
Always put on your bra before you put on your shirt.
Yes, unless you're Madonna.
Circa 1984.
1984, yeah.
Yeah. What's another ancient wisdom?
The Lesbian Mafia ancient wisdom of the day is...
always punch her in the face when she's not looking.
Always bitch slap her.
Always... always hit her with a pipe when she's sleeping.
Oh God! Always. Oh no! I don't have a good one.
Always shock her and put her in her ass when she's drunk.
Yeah,
that's disgusting.
The whole anal thing—that's a whole other subject.
I know. That's an exit. I mean, for the other woman, it's whatever she wants it to be. But for me, generally speaking, it's an exit.
Yeah. There's no entrance from the back door?
A little bit. Not too much. You're not pounding me with a strap on.
But you know, like, when you're down there, or when, you know, if someone's down there and it's, like, amazing, like, euphoric, ecstasy-type pussy eating, and then, like, a little bit of rim job.
Yeah, right. At that point, you could stick a Rubik's Cube up my ass. I wouldn't even know.
You could fucking stick a salmon up my ass and I wouldn't know.
When it gets to that point, I don't even know what sex you are anymore.
At that point, we have
at that point,
that's okay.
Right. You're disgusting and despicable.
Oh, you love it.
All right, well, thank you for the wisdoms. Goodbye. Okay, well, thanks for listening. I hope that we were able to keep you company and be somewhat entertaining. And, you know, by the way, we are on Twitter, twitter.com/thelesbianmafia. You can get us on MySpace. I refuse to give in to the underhanded tactics to be forced on to sit on my Facebook. I did try to log into it the other day, and I forgot my password, and I don't have the faintest idea of how to get it again, because it's not a user-friendly place, sit on my Facebook. It's not. I feel dyslexic when I am on Sit On My Facebook. It's too much, too small, too all in one strange way. The layout makes me nervous. How much more personal do you need to get? What's so personal about Facebook? Tell me what's so personal. Oh, get to know me more personal. Get me on Facebook. What's going on Facebook? Are you really sitting on people's faces? Like, what is happening that is so personal? How personal are you really getting to know them? Tell me. I think it's Facebook fascism. Everywhere I go, I feel pressured that I need to have a Facebook. I don't understand Facebook. I don't fucking understand it. You can listen to this show on your telephone from anywhere. And I do it pretty often because sometimes I find it annoying to have to plug in my MP3 player and go onto iTunes and download and this. Like, I mean, it's not really a hard thing to do. It's not really that big of a deal. But sometimes I just don't feel like doing it. So sometimes if I feel like listening to the show, I will listen to it on the telephone. You can listen to the latest episode. And that number is 651-925-1610. And we have a listener comment line if you wanted to call in for any reason. That telephone number is 206-984-4093. And if you were interested in Lesbian Mafia shirts or apparel, you can go to thelesbianmafia.spreadshirt.com. Check out some of the apparel. If you have a MySpace and you add us on the MySpace, you can see all of that on the page. And so, yeah, that is the story. Morning Glory. All right, so thank you very much for listening, and we will speak at you again very soon. Ta-ta, bye-bye. Stay warm. Bye-bye.
Please, Mama, can't you see I've always tried to please? I wore ribbons and jewelry and makeup and perfume and dresses down to my knees. You said that it's a phase, just something I'd outgrow. But I got a girlfriend and she's got a lawn that I'd sure like to mow. Go on and wish that Brad Pitt would come along. But I prefer Madonna in a lacy thong. They talk behind my back and criticize my life, but I get No complaints from Lou Diamond Phillips' wife. And I'm a lesbian, I'd rather be with Jane and Dick. Yeah, I'm a lesbian, a penis doesn't do the trick. When we go in for 69, I know hers is the same as mine. Hide your wives, cause here I come. I'm a lesbian. I'm a lesbian. When does cheerleading practice start? Hey there, cutie.